Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Please pray with me as we get started in the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. I pray that we would be able to be reminded of some important truths in your Word and that we would be able to apply it to our lives. Lord, I pray that you would fill us with joy inexpressible that comes only from you. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How to be happy. This is from the Anxiety and Depression Association of America. In 2020, an estimated 14.8 million U.S. adults aged 18 or older had at least one major depressive episode with severe impairment in the past year. Rates of depression were higher among young adults between the ages of 18 and 29. An estimated 4.1 million adolescents aged 12 to 17 in the United States had at least one major depressive episode. The rates of depression have been rising among adolescents in the United States. Greater than 1 in 20 children aged 6 to 17 in the United States in 2011 through 2012 were found to have current anxiety or depression by a parent report. This is from the Mayo Clinic. While they mention brain chemistry and hormone issues, they call depression a mood disorder that causes a persistent feeling of sadness and loss of interest. Also called major depressive disorder or clinical depression, it affects how you feel, think, and behave, and can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems. You may have trouble doing normal day-to-day activities, and sometimes you may feel as if life isn't worth living. With respect to teens, issues such as peer pressure, academic expectations, and changing bodies can bring a lot of ups and downs for teens. But for some teens, the lows are more than just temporary feelings. They are a symptom of depression. With respect to men, coping mechanisms. Escapist behavior such as spending a lot of time at work or on sports. Physical symptoms such as headaches, digestive problems, and pain. Problems with alcohol and drug use, controlling, violent, or abusive behavior, irritability or inappropriate anger, risky behavior, such as reckless driving. Solutions, again, this is still the Mayo Clinic. If you feel depressed, make an appointment to see your doctor or mental health professional as soon as you can. If you're reluctant to seek treatment, talk to a friend or loved one, any healthcare professional, a faith leader, or someone else you trust. A little bit later, they say, reach out to a close friend or loved one, contact a minister, spiritual leader, or someone else in your faith community. So depression is a real thing, it's a real trouble, and I dare say that the number of us, given the size of our congregation this morning, means that there are several people that are battling with this and dealing with it. Medication is often prescribed. They have hotlines that you can call. And this is a real battle that many people face. However, when we talk about joy and happiness over and against being depressed and discouraged, the Bible has a lot to say. As a matter of fact, it is overwhelming. As I was preparing for this message, it is overwhelming the amount of verses beginning in Genesis and going all the way through to the end. The amount of verses that talk about rejoicing and having joy and being happy, the verses abound. And I think the place to start would be to understand this, that when we consider being happy in our lives, that it is God's will for us. It is God's will. Our happiness is God's will. And that, I think, is an important stepping stone for us to grasp. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that one of the things that we are to do as Christians is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And what happens is when we have our bodies or our flesh just kind of leading us in a certain direction, there has to be some learning, retraining that goes on with the way that we think and the way that we live in order to help us line up with some of the things that God encourages us in the Bible. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And so we say this as an expression of the will of God. Now, the Bible is not ignorant of the struggles and the challenges that each of us face in life. I mean, it addresses those as well. But nevertheless, in spite of all of the challenges we face, we are encouraged by the Lord to rejoice always in Him. Another verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. This is the second shortest verse in the Bible. After Jesus wept, it says, rejoice always. So if you want to commit a verse to memory, this would be a good one right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. And it is something that is a good reminder for us, something that we can practice and put into, make a reality in our lives. I want to look at a number of verses and other things that we can consider this morning. First of all, Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the important thing to draw away from this verse at this time is that joy comes from the Lord. We can make an effort, or we can just kind of, you know, I'm going to do it, I'm going to be happy today, yes. You know, just kind of purpose yes, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to be successful at this. And we can try to muster that joy up within ourselves, when in reality, what we have to do is fall down before the Lord and seek His face. Joy comes from the Lord. True joy comes from the Lord. And that is extremely important for us to grasp and understand. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The last part of the verse here is the one that is usually one that stands out. But it says this, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions of those of whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, and here it is, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many of you have ever heard that phrase before? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I think there might even be a song about it, but this is so true. As a matter of fact, there's a verse, either in Psalms or Proverbs, I think, it says, joy does like good medicine. And so the importance of joy to our well-being and our ability to face the circumstances of life and the ability to reflect upon the Lord and the ability to have hope in Him, that tomorrow He is going to work all things out for good and that He will fill me with rejoicing. This is an important part of our lives. It is important for us to experience the joy of the Lord. It is our strength. And so we should go forward with His joy filling our lives. So, how is it that we are to be happy? Again, I was overwhelmed by what the verses said, and I've just kind of condensed it in a couple of points here. But there is more that you can glean from Scripture as we go through this. But let me suggest, first of all, that one of the things that we are to rejoice in is God's blessings. We are to rejoice in the blessings or the things that God has done for us. The Bible is full of examples of rejoicing in God's blessings. Let me read to you Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 7 through 10. It says, go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white and let your head lack no oil. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life, which He has given you under the sun, all your days of vanity, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So the book of Ecclesiastes, being true to itself, brings up the vanity of life, but every so often it puts in there or inserts something that we are to be thankful for or rejoicing in. And here we see that we are to enjoy the food and the relationships that are in our lives. We are to take pleasure in those things that God has allowed to come our way. And so we can rejoice in them. Psalm chapter 35, verse 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause, and let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant. So this verse reminds us that God prospers us because we are His children. And every time He chooses to allow prosperity to come our way, let us shout for joy and be glad in it. Psalm chapter 35, verse 9, "My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation." If nothing else, there is one thing that He has done for most of us here. He has saved us from our sins. He has given us the hope of eternal life. Amen? And in that salvation, we can rejoice. "I will not perish because of my sins, but He will allow me to live in His presence for all of eternity. Praise be to the Lord." Yes, I can rejoice and shout for joy because of that which He has done for me. Psalm chapter 51, verses 11 and 12. "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit." Now, in Psalm 51, David is repenting before the Lord because he has committed an abominable sin with Bathsheba and her husband Uriah. He has done terribly. He has sinned. And when he was confronted with his sinfulness, he comes before the Lord, and Psalm 51 is that psalm of repentance. And I have to say that if there is one thing that I have seen that takes away the joy, our joy in this life and in our relationship with the Lord, it's our sin. When we sin, that is the quickest drain of our joy that is around. Whenever we sin, whenever we do wrong, we are drained of joy. And so maybe if you are experiencing a lack of joy in your life, it could be that there is some sinfulness in your life that is ongoing that you need to repent of and deal with. And praise be to God, when we do sin, we have somewhere to go to take care of it. We can come to Jesus. We can fall on our knees before Him. We can cast our sins upon Him. We can ask for forgiveness, and He will forgive us every single time because He took care of all of our sins on the cross. Praise be to the Lord. So, one of the reasons we lack joy is because of sinfulness, but praise the Lord, we can go and have the joy of our salvation restored to us. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 66 is just one of those Old Testament expressions. They had just built the temple. Solomon had built the temple. And it says, "On the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the good that the Lord had done for his servant David and for Israel his people." They went away joyful and glad of heart because of all the good that God had done for them. And it becomes really important for us then, as we're going through this life, I mean, it is easy to get discouraged by the things that are going on and happening to us. A couple of weeks ago, maybe it was last week, I can't remember, I put up the 10 life changes that cause stress and anxiety. And several of us, you know, like the death of a loved one or moving or a serious illness and those things, there were 10 of them. And some of us are dealing with more than one of those. And so there is these real things in our life that are difficult for us to handle. They are real, and by no means, when I encourage us to be happy, am I suggesting that we should ignore our problems or pretend they don't exist or just kind of put them aside as nothing. I'm not suggesting that at all. But what I am suggesting is that there is a place that we can go, a person we can turn to that supersedes all of the troubles that we face in life, who gives us hope beyond this life. And so let us look and focus not on the bad and the negative, but focus on the good and the blessings that God sends our way. Let us turn to those things and rejoice in all He has done for us. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 13. By the way, how many of you have seen the image creator on Bing? It's brand new, part of the AI things that are coming out. I've been experimenting. I created this with the image creator on Bing. I assure you, it required no talent on my part whatsoever. But it's related to this verse that I'm going to read from Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And so this is the word of the Lord. He has promised us lots of things in this life, and when he chooses according to his will to allow them to come our way, let us rejoice in his blessings. Let us rejoice and focus on the things that he has given to us, the things that have come to us from his loving and caring hand. It is right and fitting for us to rejoice and to be thankful in what he has done, rather than to dismiss them because of the overwhelming difficulties of the challenges that we face in life. Let us instead look to his glorious blessings. In Psalm 66, verses 1 through 4, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. And so let us, like we are encouraged in the psalm, make a joyful shout unto the Lord and sing the honor of his name and give praise to him, for he is great and glorious. And so let us rejoice in the things that he has done. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Now look at this last part. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be full. What a great verse. God will answer our prayers in order to produce joy in our hearts and our lives. And so let us look to his blessings, let us number them, and let us rejoice in each one. I would like for us to sing a song. This is a song that's been in the life of the church for many, many years, and I think we've sung it occasionally in the past, but let's stand together as we count our blessings.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Amen. You may be seated. We go to our second point this morning. Not only should we rejoice at the blessings that God gives to us, but we should rejoice when we are serving God. Rejoice when we are serving him. This is a gift that he gives to us, the ability to have the strength that we have and to have the mental abilities that we have, whatever they might be, and to provide for us the opportunities to help and to serve and to bless one another and to glorify him. And so we serve one another, and when we serve one another, this is a chance for us to rejoice. So we look at Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43, and in Nehemiah, God had called them to rebuild the temple wall, the wall of Jerusalem. So the Babylonians had come in, they had destroyed the city, and in the restoration and the return from the deportation there, God had given them the chance to rebuild the wall. And so Nehemiah was in charge of that, and when they had finished, we come to Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43. Also in that day, they offered great sacrifice and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. So we serve. I don't know if I need to explain that every time, for me it's true anyways, when I have an opportunity to do something in the name of the Lord, that I am happy that I have done that afterwards. I rejoice in the opportunity that he has given me because I know how weak I am and I know how deficient I am and I know all of these things about me. I know how I am not able and capable to do these things, and yet he gives me a chance to do something for him. Praise be to the Lord. And so every act of service is an opportunity for us to rejoice. Psalm chapter 42, 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Now, some things, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about serving God, but some things can be very simple about it, like going to the house of the Lord, like we are all doing today. And so after we here we are, we're in church, and then we're going to go home. And after we leave this place, we can rejoice in the fact that we had this opportunity to worship him together. Praise be to the Lord for this. Let us rejoice in this choice that we have made, that we have actually acted out, and here we are, present in church together, praising the Lord and looking at his word. We can rejoice in that. It is a little thing, I mean, as far as things go, I guess, it is a little thing, and yet we must be faithful in the little things, and he will bless us. And so let us rejoice that we are here. Praise be to the Lord. This is an act of obedience to him. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, this is the parable where Jesus gives 5 talents to one, which is money, and 2 to another, and 1 to another, and the one who received 5 and the one who received 2 went, and they did all these things with them and doubled. So the man who had 5 made 5 more, and the one who had 2 made 2 more. And it says this, the same thing to both of them. How much they started with is irrelevant. It was that they were faithful with what they were given. As his Lord said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Enter into the joy of your Lord. And so the fact that they were faithful and the fact that they served God with what he had given them was a matter of rejoicing. They were able to rejoice because of that. So don't think you have to do something great in your service to the Lord. Just be obedient and faithful with what opportunity he provides for you. It could be a kind word. It could be a helping hand. It could be any other thing that you do in the name of the Lord. When you do it, we don't do it to be happy, but when we do it, we can rejoice that we have done it. Acts chapter 13, verse 9, the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all of the region. So this is the disciples. Acts, the events of Acts are just kind of moving along, and in Acts chapter 13, we have the disciples taking the word of God and spreading it, and then a few verses later it says this, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit because of their service in spreading the word." Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, Paul said. Nor do I count my life dear to myself so that I may finish the race, my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So this is Paul's ministry, and he is doing what he is doing so that he might finish the course of his life and experience the joy of the Lord in having done it. And so this is our life. This is our ministry. He has given us our life. He has given us our calling. We should give our efforts. We should put our strength to living for him and serving him. And as we do that, we can rejoice. And Paul is rejoicing despite imprisonments and beatings and shipwrecks and all kinds. He lists the things that he experienced in the course of his life. And yet, he is running his race with the joy of the Lord. So let us rejoice in the opportunities that we have to serve him. Our third point this morning, rejoice when distressed. Rejoice when distressed. What? What? Rejoice when I'm distressed? How can I do that? There is no way that I can do that. And yet, that is the encouragement of Scripture. We tend to think that I can't be happy because things are so bad for me. Don't you understand what I'm going through? There is no way I can be happy. But that is not the message of Scripture. When the bad things come, we still ought to rejoice before him. Now, here's my picture that I'm going to be putting up a couple of times, and this picture represents us praying in the midst of our trouble, getting before the Lord and crying out to him for his deliverance. And so listen to these verses when you see this picture come up. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So there are a number of things that we could point out here in this verse, but he said, I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. So in the midst of the tribulation, there is exceeding joy. And why could he say that there was exceeding joy? Because he is not focusing on his tribulation. He is looking beyond his tribulation. And that is where our joy lies. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 34. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. You see that? They joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, of their goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. How many of you have had somebody break into your home and steal, rob you? Anybody? All right, a couple of you. It happened to us when we lived in Florida. South Florida, they put the tents over the entire house in order to kill the termites. So where we lived was tented, and we had to leave. They tented the house, sprayed for termites. We came back a few days later to find that the tent had been cut. They broke into one of the back doors, and they had stolen some things. I mean, it's not like we were ever rich and had a whole lot to steal, but they took my computer and they took some jewelry and they just took some of the things that were there. Nothing so great, but the violation or the feeling of having been, you know, just kind of somebody came into our space and took our stuff, that was just, it was hard. It was hard to deal with. He says, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Even if you get plundered, you can rejoice. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Count it all joy when you fall into trials. It's like, yes, I'm having a hard time, yes. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. That's what it says. And why? Because God is at work producing a greater thing in our lives, something to rejoice about. It goes beyond the trouble, the difficulty that we're facing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Notice what it says. Though for a while you have been grieved by various trials, you rejoice with joy inexpressible. We're not talking about just a little joy. We're not talking about just a, yeah, I'm trusting the Lord kind of content kind of joy. We're talking about joy inexpressible at our trials. Who would have thought? And it is not because of the trial, but because of the greater work that God is performing in our lives, because we belong to him. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. Another great verse there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Here again is one of those puzzling verses, one of those verses that we have to kind of use to transform our minds by. It says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So we can rejoice in our infirmities. We can take pleasure in our infirmities, because when we are going through a hard time, the power of Christ rests upon us. Praise be to the Lord. And when we are going through a hard time, we are strong, because his strength rests upon us. We can rejoice in that. Linda, are you here? All right, Linda did not make it. Now, this is Linda Haven. Some of you know Linda. She sits in the back over there. And if you don't know Linda, I hope that you get to know her. So she's been going through some health issues, and since those health issues, and she's still struggling. So I would go up to her, and this is why I'm bringing her up this morning. It says, Linda, how are you doing? And she would say, I'm here. And what she's doing is she's looking past her health difficulties to the greater blessing that she has come to church. Praise be to the Lord. I'm here. Now, I was telling her I was going to mention her in the sermon this week. And I encouraged her. I said, if you're able to come, please come. This is her reply. This is what she said to me. I hope to come. She had no idea what I was going to preach about, what I'm preaching about. She had no idea. So just kind of keep that in mind. I hope to come. I look forward to coming. I know that God will provide what's best for me. I feel like I have happiness coming my way. Wasn't that great? I just thought that was great. So I'm sorry she's not here to see that and hear that, but maybe she's online. I don't know. But anyway, our next point. So rejoice when distressed, and then rejoice in fellowship. Here's another opportunity to rejoice. It is when we come into fellowship with our family, our friends, our church family. An opportunity for us to rejoice. There are a number of verses that talk about this. Philippians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Always in every prayer of mine, making request for all of for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul just expressed his joy in the well-being and the doing good of those that he knew and he loved. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Again, he calls them his joy. So let us rejoice in other people. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. And then 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So again, he's rejoicing in that his fellowship with them involves seeing them do God's will. And then our last point this morning, rejoice in God's presence. Rejoice in God's presence. Of course, all joy comes from the Lord. And when we come into the presence of the Lord, there is opportunity for joy. How do we come into the presence of the Lord? Well, we come into the presence of the Lord, one, by coming to church and worshiping the Lord together. We are entering into his presence together, and having entered into his presence, we can experience joy. How else do we come into the presence of the Lord? We come into the presence of the Lord whenever we pray to him. Whenever we take time aside, whenever we come before him, we are entering his presence. We are praying. We are making our requests known to him with thanksgiving. We are rejoicing in his love and in his blessings as he gives them to us when we come into his presence, when we are blessed by the answer to our prayer. And so we experience joy when we come into his presence. And here's the final verse I want to leave us with this morning. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. I hope that you can take some of the points here, that you could apply them to your lives, and you can begin to experience the joy of the Lord.